Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in
Aloha,
Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. By the way, you just heard our theme music by Billy and Renee Foster, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, we love it so much.
And I do have a link on our page, so if you ever want to find out more about Billy Foster, there's a link there to take you right there, and we'll talk about a little something Billy Foster's doing at the Nest later. Hey, our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, you can call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. Like to thank them both for their generous support. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, the station manager, who's not here today. So Esther's flying solo behind the console, but we like to thank him for his support anyway.
Yeah, he's the best. Thank you, Greg.
Art in the Air is sponsored by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. That's a federal agency, so we appreciate that grant support. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, or appear as a guest, please email us at artontheair@wvlp.com. That's artontheair@wvlp.com. Love to hear from you. Love to get your event on the air. Hey, our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. So if you have trouble hearing us over the air, you can hear us that way. Also, our show is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to our show archive, where you have almost 9 months of our shows already there, coming up our first anniversary in October.
I can't believe it's been a year.
I know.
Almost.
My gosh. Esther and I feel like we're almost married. Anyway, our show archive can be heard at breck.com/AOT. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And you can hear all that. Plus, our detailed arts calendar is right there and everything. By the way, our show is being carried by WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IU Northwest, so you can hear us there on their schedule. Now, we'd like to ask you, because we are a community-based radio station, and we need your support, not only for this station, but for the operation. So if you're interested in becoming that, it's not just being a listener, but being a supporter of WVLP, and specifically Art in the Air. Esther and I would really love if you underwrite our program.
Oh, please. That would help so much getting us the upgrades we need for our equipment.
Yes, we would. And, you know, one of the things we're looking for is adding phone-in capability and everything like that, maybe some more remote capability. But anyway, there's various underwriter levels, just like the Brower Museum is, and the building is our underwriter. You can help out, too. You can find out information about that at wvlp.org/support. So we don't want you to just be a listener. You can be a participant in the station, be a supporter, underwriter, and whatever amount you have. And I say this every week, but I really mean it. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting this show and WVLP. Well, we're going to start with our arts calendar, and I'm going to start with Porter County. And Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, Brower Museum, they are now redoing an exhibit which will open pretty soon. It's going to be Betty LaDuke, Swai Kwok, and Mark Fletcher. They have three different exhibits going on. Their opening ceremony will be September 6th, so the current exhibit is now coming down with Brabant Lenting and Corey Hegelberg. They'll be doing gallery talk later in September, and they'll have music performances. There's a link on our events page. You can find out more about that. The Village Gallery at Pines. Well, if you haven't seen this exhibit of mine, actually, it's at the Village Pine. It's coming down this week. So this weekend, probably through about Wednesday, you can still catch it at the Village Pines. Again, the link is on our website, and it's Nostalgic Structures and Scenics. And that will be coming down and being replaced by some other new artists. Chesterton Art Center. Well, first of all, I was all weekend busy last with the Chesterton Art Festival, and it was a wonderful event. We had probably estimated about 4,000 people. We had 82 actual vendors on site. Everyone was very happy about that, so do that. But at next exhibit opening, and actually it's already up, but the official opening is on Sunday, is our guest for next week, someone returning to the microphone, is Melissa Washburn.
Oh, that'll be fun.
It will be. And so I'm going to go Sunday to see the opening, partially as my in the role of taking photography and also as vice president of the organization. She will be doing that along with her thing called All Little Things. I've already seen the exhibits. Wonderful. And then there's another thing called Stories in Glass done by their different stained artists there. And again, the opening reception is August 11th, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Chesterton Art Center. Mark Vanderwine, Critique Night is every first Wednesday at 7 o'clock right there. And there's still the Art Herb Helm Water Workshop that's going to be, that one was passed. I just didn't take that one off the schedule. But Leona Jorenzi will be there. She's going to be doing several things. You can find out in a Prismacolor and everything like that. If they have a whole wide range of things, contact the Chesterton Art Center. They're online, and they will have lots of things. Also, they're still looking for some teachers that are coming in for the fall classes. Art Barn, that's in Valparaiso, continues with Embroidering the Imagination by Laura Izzard. It's in their main gallery space, and Pastel Paintings by Robin Feely. That'll be in the lobby gallery. Again, you can find out information about that on our events page. Depot Museum and Art Gallery, well, they're now tonight opening a brand new exhibit. Tonight, that's Friday, August 9th, and it's a group exhibition with several artists. They've contributed work, and so it's called, the theme is called Keeping the Present Past, and they'll be there from 5 to 7 for their Friday opening this evening. Again, that's Depot. That's right on US 12, beautiful little Depot gallery. It's part of the South Shore. The Ellen Firm Gallery also has an opening just around the corner from that, and that's Yanko Konstantinov, and he's doing a thing that evening also, so you can swing by there and see his exhibit, you know, like in the same spot.
So his mother is going to be at the Depot, and then you can walk across the street and see her son's exhibit.
Exactly. So. Boy, keep it in the family, yeah. Right? And finally, Memorial Opera House. Well, if you missed Mamma Mia, you missed it, so it's passed. They're getting ready for their next production. You can find out their entire schedule online, but they will be doing Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap. They'll be opening September 27th. That's a ways off. And one note about The Mousetrap that I always find interesting is Agatha Christie specified that should never be made into a film, TV, or motion picture. It only can be done on stage. Now, probably when it goes into public domain, and they can't control that, but at least while it's still a copyright material, you'll never see a movie of The Mousetrap or a TV thing. So that's all we have in Porter County. Esther's going to take you to LaPorte County.
Here we go. LaPorte County, the Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte, 822 Lincoln Way. I'm not sure what their current exhibit is. If they would email us, then we could put that down. If not, I'll reach out. Dune Summer Theater at 288 Shady Oak Drive in Michiana. Hansel and Gretel meet the Swamp Witch the 9th and 10th of August.
Well, Working was the very first musical I directed. In fact, I did the Northwest Indiana premiere of it. It's based on a book by Studs Terkel and Stephen Schwartz, who most people know from Godspell Pippin and, this other musical. Oh, Wicked. He coordinated the music. There's music in there. Anyway, we actually almost had Studs Terkel come down for our little production of it. We did both a high school level production and then a summer stock version. That was in the 80s. So there's some very famous people. This is a newer version. Has some music by Lin-Manuel Hamilton. And everything, and so it's been updated. Not sure. I have to look at the new script. I like the old script, but it's a very moving piece based on people's real stories. So Working is a really moving piece based on Studs Terkel book where he interviewed a bunch of people working. So that's my comment about Working.
A really good book. All right, the Lubesnik Center for the Arts, the Chicago Imagists Before and After. It's a vibrant exhibition showcasing the Chicago Imagists, who inspired them and those they influenced. The exhibit runs through October 19th and is showing in all three galleries. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street. Their exhibit is Fun and Games by Terry Duncan, and her exhibit features mixed media pieces that include paintings and found objects suspended in layers of cast resin. SFC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street is exhibiting the original watercolors by Terry Armstrong through the month of October. August. Southern Shore Art Association, and their gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and their exhibit is titled Travel, Places and Faces. Whether it's across the street, across town, state, country, or continents, there's always something new or intriguing that catches the artist's interest. Find your interpretation of new locations and or faces runs through August. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. They're in between exhibits. The Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street. The new exhibit is Robert Serko's Me, Myself, and I's recent paintings and drawings. We had Robert in the gallery 2 years ago, and this is all new work just done within the last year. Drum Circle is every first Friday. We just changed the date. We had Drum Circle last night, but we all decided that we're going to move it to the first Friday at 6:30 p.m., so please come join us. August 9th, Improv, Jazz, and Writing. This is a free gathering. Robert Wolf will be reading from some of his works. Come and meet Bob before the writing workshops on the 10th and 11th at 7:30 p.m., and he just happens to be our guest tonight, or this afternoon. This morning.
Whenever,
almost this
right
afternoon.
Now.
Right now. August 10th and 11th will be the writing workshop, so spend Saturday immersed in the world of Jack Kerouac, Gertrude Stein, and Ezra Pound. On day one, learn Kerouac's method of spontaneous prose composition and find yourself blowing great streams of words. Write cubist portraits a la Gertrude Stein. Sunday, we go deeper into Kerouac, free writing, and the mind of jazz. On day two, we use these methods to create our own stories and sketches. Both of these workshops are on the event page, and Bob will be updating us on all of them in a moment. August 17th, Ondine, the Mermaid Gathering and Perfume Lodge launches from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, because Doreen's Eastern Standard Time, so all of her friends were at Central. Doreen will give a fun, informative, interactive presentation about perfumery techniques, natural aromatics, and the creation of Ondine, and serve up some mermaid lore. August 17th also, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. and every third Saturday. It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. On August 24th at 6:30 p.m., we have the details now. Save the date, a jazz evening with Billy and Renee Foster. We're so excited about
great.
That.
Yay. Oh, yes.
Friday, August 30th at 5:30 p.m., a free Tai Chi Easy and Qigong class with Christy Putnam. More events and details on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page. And that's it for the
That's fantastic. And one other thing is at Southern Shore, there's a call for artists. And that's September, for the September exhibit called Your Best Shot. And it'll run September 6th through the 29th. The sign-up deadline, you can find out information on their website. Yours truly is curating that, and Trent Albert will be the actual judge for it. There is one big prize. And what we're doing differently from the previous ones, instead of having like first, second, third place, besides best show and honorable mention, you know, which is like Miss Congeniality, we're breaking into categories. So, you know, like we're going to have best still life or things
best
like that.
Best people portrait, nature, animal, still life, scenic, landscape, seascape, and building structure.
Gee, I wrote that, but I couldn't remember it. So
I know, that's fine. It's right here. I'm reading right from my notes.
But anyway, that's coming up. So if you're photographers out there, if you're interested, why don't you submit for that show? It'll be a lot of fun. Now we'll move to Lake County, 119th Street Artists, Cornerstone Gallery. Their final exhibit opening August 16th through September 13th, Beyond the Eye, UI is Us. Sarah Pete Condry, Dawn Dontopoulos, and Nia Lemire Trice will be doing that. Their reception is August 16th from 6:30 to 9, and that is the very last exhibit for 119th Street at Cornerstone, because now Cornerstone is in a bank and they're taking over that space. So unfortunately, it looks like that's one group that's gonna go away. It's very sad, but
no, they really will just become part of
probably Studio 659,
yeah.
Which is the next one. They're still doing Metropolitan. That's their summer exhibit that opened on July 17th. It's going to run through the end of August. It's about flowers. Please trance in an urban or city environment. So you can find out information about that. They're open on weekends, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, different times. Studio659.org is their web. You can find that. South Shore Arts, and again, you can find out information about that. Continues in the Bachman Gallery for Ray McGinnis, Tales from the Biosphere. That'll run through the end of August. She's part of the Outstanding Midwest Artist Series. The Atrium Gallery continues with Bob Pomolari, Straight Shooters Photography through September 8th. So they're doing that. South Shore Arts exhibit at the Toll continues with Between the Real and Imagine. Annika Dedeker, she'll be doing that. That's in Hammond on Holman Street. Then there's the Cafe Fresco in Crown Point, Joel Tomaszewski. Then and Now, he's a nature artist based in Highland. Bird portraits and wood panels. That'll be going through the middle of September. hey, if you're interested in submitting for another show, the annual Salon Show. Call for submissions coming up very soon. Its deadline is August 16th. It'll be running September 14th through November 10th. Yes, I have submitted three of my pieces already. So that's the 76th version of the Salon Show, curated by David Clayman of IU. He's the dean of IU Northwest, and he's the dean of School of Arts there. 61, well, it's continuing on. If you haven't been there through September 21st, and this is a great one for the kids, celebrating the 61st National Park. Well, what do you say that is? It's right in your doorstep here in the Dunes National Park. It's at the Welcome Center on Kennedy Avenue, just off the expressway I-90, I-94. They have exhibits, sandboxes, representing all the different areas that make up the Indiana Dunes National Park. So you can see that. Great time for the kids. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, In Her Own Style, Robin Feely's exhibit. It continues. She was the original owner of the Miller Bakery Cafe. That's the Marshall J. Gardner Center for the Arts. You can find out information on our events page and all their upcoming things. They have a lot of different openings and different things, just like the Nest, going on there. South Lake Arts, otherwise known as South Lake Arts Cooperative, otherwise known as SLAC, and the people that are artists there are called Slackers. They are continuing with their exhibit, China Cat Sunflower at the SIP Coffee House 2 in Highland, and Texture at the SIP Coffee House in Crown Point is their other exhibit. They're only found on Facebook. We have the link there, and they have a call for out. Portrait of the Artist as... And those submissions are due on the 12th. And they have the new exhibit, Word. And that's all they say about it. You can find out the details of what they're looking for. That's what's to do on September 23rd. A great small group there. Between You and the Eye, that exhibit's getting to close on August 16th. That's photography curated by Felix Mondolando, presented by the Hyman Development Corporation, and that's on Holman Avenue. And you can find out information on the Facebook link there. Theater at the Center, their final weekend of Over the Tavern, which ends August 11th. And they're going to do a special thing. If you are a Carpenter fan, they have a young lady, Heidi Keitering. She sings the music of Karen Carpenter in a show we've only just begun. That's only on Saturday, August 24th, 3 and 7:30 p.m. There's two shows. You can find that information at theateratthecenter.com. Finally, and that's about all we have for the Lake Counties, and there is. Again, if you'd like to have your information on the air, love to have it, and all you have to do that is send it to artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That was a heck of a long art calendar.
Well, it's summertime.
It is.
It's busy.
Well, we're really happy to have the guest today, someone who will be at the Nest pretty soon, Robert Wolf. He's an American writer, journalist, entrepreneur, and things. He focuses on life frequently, that of farmers and rural Americans. He's a past recipient of Bronze Medal for Radio Commentary. It was Sigma Delta Chi Award, both with the Society of Professional Journalists. So we're really pleased to have you here today. Actually goes by Bob, and that's nice to say. And his wonderful other came here, and she was supposed to be on our show once more. Bonnie Kolak's here. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Larry.
So, well, let's explore.
And the puppies.
And the puppies are here, too. So so we might get them. So what we want to do, Bob, is just find out a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, and everything like that.
Well, I grew up in an affluent community in Connecticut, New Canaan. And that it was a highly conformist community where the males were all alpha males and they were commuting to New York to these executive positions. And it gave me something to rebel against. I said, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't like your values. And I see more of America than I can find here in New Canaan or in nearby towns. So... I think I was 17 when I ran away from home and hitchhiked out to Ohio to my grandparents' farm. Actually, they had a farm, but they lived in Defiance, Ohio. So I spent the summer there with them. And that began a pattern of traveling for another 30 years, 35, 40 years. I decided at some point in high school that I wanted to live in every town and city, have conversations with everyone, and work every possible job. And so, in fact, I did travel a lot, lived in a lot of different towns. I've lived in 10 different states. I do this now. I rode freight trains and hitchhiked, for a long time. But I do this vicariously through these writing workshops now. So. I wanted to create a collective autobiography of America. That was the goal years ago. I set up a nonprofit called Free River Press whose goal initially was to get the homeless people in Nashville to write their stories, and I would publish them. So a friend and I created this nonprofit. And we had a writing workshop that was very alive, very vibrant, and especially so when we mixed non-homeless together with the homeless. And the point of doing these stories and publishing them was to let people know that the homeless, these were flesh and blood people on the streets and not just statistics. So I published the writings of the people who had the very strongest personalities. I'd like to read one now if I could.
Sure, go right ahead. Yeah, we'll explore more about you. So tell us what that piece you're going to read.
It's called Well Seasoned, and it's written by a woman named Elle Gilbert. I really don't know if she's alive or not. She, like a lot of others, she came to Nashville to make it in the music business. Nashville was just, this was in the late 80s. Bonnie and I were married in December 11th, 1988, and we went almost immediately to Nashville. Bonnie is a concert singer and a visual artist, but she said she had done everything in Chicago that could be done, so she wanted to go to Nashville. And we did. And so the streets literally were just downtown and Broadway were just filled with the homeless. And they were working day labor jobs, getting paid very little, and spending their money at night in the honky-tonks.
Right.
So Liz Gilbert was executive secretary to John Hammond, the great impresario. He's the one who was Benny Goodman's brother-in-law. He discovered a lot of great blues players. And when he died, she could not get a similar position in New York, so she came to Nashville. And she spent her days hanging out at the McDonald's restaurant and other places and just writing, chain-smoking cigarettes and writing. And this is called Well Seasoned. Friday night, Nashville, Captain D's Fish Chain on West End Avenue, where the elite meet to crunch, chomp, guzzle, and slurp, unaware of the perpetual draft from the air conditioner or the monotony of Muzak in the distance. Counter girls appear at intervals to wipe off tables, fill napkin holders, keep the ketchup flowing and the customers content. That's what they're paid to do. So when they holler, "Y'all come back," in their best finishing school voices, don't take it personally. You're not a person, first of all. You're a seafood platter and a Coke, or black coffee and a banana tart. Nothing more. Don't forget that. Hush! Quiet! Eat your grub as quickly as possible and get out. These are the unspoken rules of the restaurant game in these parts. No room for poachers or poets, just as no dogs allowed.
Very good. And that's from the book American Mosaic.
Yeah, this was American Mosaic was a collection that Oxford University Press put together from the first 9 years of workshop writings. Free River Press did. We did six books written by the homeless, little chapbooks, and then when Bonnie and I, and all things considered, did a story on that workshop. And then when we moved to Iowa, I said farmers need to be heard. So that's when I realized that my goal was to create this collective autobiography of America.
Very good.
But then I remember you saying to me that, well, the farmers didn't think they had a story to tell, and
right.
That's where you come in, and you
right.
really...
And I would tell them, you know, and you write a story, and I mean, you can tell the story, and then just write it as closely as you can to the way you told it. And that takes the mystery out of the writing.
Do they actually write it, or do they do it as an oral history? Like much of what Studs Terkel did with Working, which you talked about earlier, was a oral history that he then wrote down.
No, but they do the writing.
Okay.
So what I do in a workshop, what I do is I will pick some stories that are appropriate to this particular group that I'm working
right.
with, and we take turns reading them. We take turns reading the story around the table. And then we talk about what made it work.
Right.
Why was it effective?
You workshop them then.
We workshop. And then I tell them, tell the story that you want to write. And they do that. And then people ask them questions about it. and get them to flesh it out. And they realize they're not writing for me. They're writing for everyone in the group.
Very good. Now, somewhere in there, you actually managed to go to college. So it's
It
kind of sounded like we jumped to Ohio and then you got married. But somewhere in there,
hopping
freights, which we need to explore that also. But tell us about your academic background.
Well, I went to started off at St. John's College, a great book school.
Okay.
But I didn't open a book for the year, so they said take a year off. So when I went back, I decided I wanted to. I went to Columbia in New York for 2 years, and almost 2 years, and then I decided, well, I really want the great books, the St. John's program, because there was 4 years of mathematics, 4 years of lab science, 4 years of your seminar where you do your literature and your philosophy, et cetera, and. I'm leaving something out, a year of music theory. But anyway, so I wanted that. I wanted really the heart of the Western culture. So I went back there to Santa Fe for 2 years because I knew the Southwest. And then this was during the Vietnam War. I had already taken 4 years of college. You were only allowed five. And if I had stayed at St. John's, because I went back as a freshman, I would have had to do two more years, and I would have been drafted in my senior year. So I said, I'll go back to Columbia. So I did. I finished at Columbia. Worked as a surveyor that summer in 68, and got my draft noticed in August. So I said, I'm going to Canada. And told my parents. My mother said, oh, no, you won't be able to come back here again. And my dad said, well, just think very carefully about it. And I did for about 2 seconds, and then I packed my bag, and I went down to Santa Fe to say goodbye to friends before I went to Canada. And in the meantime, then I found out that I could get a teaching position down there. And I ended up working at teaching math, 7th and 8th grade math, to a Hispanic population in a little town called Española. And that got me out of the draft.
Very good. Interesting. And that, of course, gave you a whole different... Do you speak Spanish? Or?
No, I don't. Okay. And that was a problem when I first tried to pronounce the kids' names. You know, that brought a lot of laughter.
And, of course, at that level, you didn't teach them algebra yet. Or did you just begin pre-algebra?
Yes, just a little bit of algebra.
One of the jokes I always tell my math teachers is, you know, the reason they teach algebra in school is to make sure you have employment. Because they do that. And so did you do any other post-education?
Well, later, yes. Many years later, I went to University of Chicago. I decided to go there because I was living up in Michigan, in Douglas. And we were in a recession right then. And I was going around trying to get work. And I would tell people, I'd be honest about my background, and I would get rejected. So I went to this bar. And the owner said, do you have any experience? I said, well, I was born in a bar. So I got the job. I didn't know a thing about bartending. So I had
But you know about storytelling.
Yeah, and I had the old Mr. Boston.
Oh, that book. Saved you. Yeah, there you go.
So I'd be looking at that and trying to mix. And by the end of the summer, I was really stumbling around. But by the end of the summer, man, I could have a couple of mixers.
You were like Tom Cruise in them.
And I remember the owner said, don't pour drinks like a lady. Give them an honest drink.
Ah, okay.
So and then I had fun getting the client, folks drunk.
Yeah, there you go.
Get them loaded.
And get better tips that way. So, well, we're coming up on our break in just a minute, but I want you to tell us a little bit about how you met your lovely young lady here that's your bride now.
Oh, well.
And she can jump in on there. Bonnie can jump in at any point to kind of clarify the whole thing.
No, she can't.
Back this from is fiction.
Because if he starts telling a fiction story here, you know, we want you to clarify that.
No, but I went to the Green Mill. This was back in Chicago, I wanted to go meet Howard Levy. I knew Howard. I wanted to talk to him about writing music for a play that I was writing. And so I went down to the Green Mill, which is a famous saloon there. And Howard said, would you like to meet Bonnie Kolak? Well, I didn't know exactly who she was. I said, well, sure. And so we started talking, and she said she wrote lyrics and music. And I thought, well, I asked her if we could get together and talk about this because that's what I wanted to do. And she said, well, she gave me her phone number, which she claimed she hardly ever did.
I thought he was harmless. Little did I know.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And I went home. The thing is, I had no romantic inclination. I went home. I wrote her a number down in my address book, and I realized we were going to be married. And I wrote down my future wife.
Wow, that's tremendous.
And I didn't know how I felt about him, but I knew we were going to be married too, shortly after. I mean, we didn't really date that long.
No.
It was really like kismet, so.
Yeah, but it was like I didn't even know how I felt about him. I just knew that we were going to be married, and I had never been married, and I was 44 years old.
Ah, so it's interesting. Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Art on the Air, 103.1 FM, and you're listening to Bonnie Kolak telling her version of the story, and Bob Wolf everything telling about their side of it and everything. So, and Art on the Air is brought to you by the Brouwer Museum and by our wonderful Walt Bright into the building there. So, anyway, so you finally. I mean, I know I have a unique story. We don't know exactly when we started dating. It's just like, so it just kind of happened along the way.
And at that time, they had come out in Time magazine that it was easier to be killed by a terrorist. That was 1987 or 88.
For a woman to get killed by a terrorist.
Yeah, a woman to get killed by a terrorist than it was to find someone to marry because many of our young men had died in the Vietnam War.
Right.
There weren't most men were married by the time you're in your 40s. But girls or ladies, just remember, it's never too late. And even if you're single, that's good too.
Yes. It's a whole different era about that now. So,
that's right.
So anyway, now you guys are together and everything. How did Bonnie's music thing, did she ever write your lyrics and things for your show?
No, I do the writing for my own. But my idea was I wanted to be more conscious of music as I wrote.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I'm in a dilemma like that. Years ago, I have a musical I wrote called Backstage, and I can sing you every song from it. My next step is to get it scored. And my daughter went to Valpo University, got with a music degree. So I said, well, honey, that's your thing. But we have not got that done. So I still need to get it scored. But everything. And, of course, it's about show business called Backstage. So.
But they do have a collaboration because Bonnie, beside being the most exquisite singer, is also just a fabulous fine artist. And so you did a lot of the illustrations for Bob's books.
For the Free River Press books.
Yeah.
I do block print, and they're very graphic. And I really like to do illustration for a theme.
They're beautiful. The books are beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what other publications you have? What books? You know, just kind of a list of books. I know I've got some here, but I mean,
well, of my own books, I did a writing handbook for Oxford University Press called Jumpstart, and I've written a comic novel called Grand Tally, which I've turned into a play, and it'll have a local production in Decorah, Iowa this fall.
Okay.
The Writer Within, we love that one.
Okay, The Writer Within, a writing handbook, yes. And what's the matter with my memory here?
Well, you also have magazine credits, too.
The Triumph of Technique.
Oh, The Triumph of Technique, yes, which was, the subtitle is The Industrialization of Agriculture and the Destruction of Rural America. And that came about because we moved to a very rural area in northeast Iowa. So we were on a farmstead. The farm was in CRP. And we were 10 miles from one town and 12 miles from the other. It was just beautiful landscape at any rate. But getting the writers into the workshop, the farmers into the workshop, I wanted to produce a book so that urban Americans would know what was happening to the food supply.
Right.
Yeah, and to farms generally. And so that also brought about this book, The Triumph of Technique. Well, the other added thing was that there was a local, we were quarter mile from this great trout stream in Iowa, one of the great trout streams. And the petrochemical industry was doing whatever they wanted to. And these farmers were just pouring the pesticides and the crap on the land, killing the life in the soil and poisoning the water and driving the small farmers out of business. So this book, The Triumph of Technique, was my response to all this because my blood pressure had shot up.
I can see it right now
in
front of me.
Really? Wow. Yeah. We had gone, we'd tried mediation with the pork producers. I started a lawsuit with another guy, a class action lawsuit. And with the Sierra Club, had they were involved, and the fly fishermen of Iowa were involved, and the residents were involved. And I think the residents got some money. I had to drop out because my blood pressure was dangerously high.
And so this was the precursor to building the agricultural city?
Because for close to 30 years, I'd been... I realized that regionalism, and I still think so, it's not going to happen, but regionalism is the only counter to globalism that we have. If in rural America, if these small towns could begin to think of themselves as nodes of population within a larger area. Mm. And I worked at this for years, and the closest I came to actually achieving anything was in the past 2 years. I mean, I was able to do large gatherings and have people together, but then eventually people can't work together. I mean, we have divisions within towns. I mean, there's one lovely town in Wisconsin where the mayor just resigned and people in the city administration resigned because it is so factionalized.
Wow.
But that's repeated elsewhere.
I know that Northwest Indiana suffers from that a little bit, but I think it's getting better. I went through a program called Leadership Northwest Indiana, and one thing it gave me was a vision for, you know, and this is my description. We all live in these little fiefdoms in Northwest Indiana, but collectively, we're about 700,000 people. We're about the size of Indianapolis. So if we start thinking regionally, and I think we've made, you know, efforts toward that in many the organizations we have. So I see that's important, the regionalism. And it's not like building fences exactly, but it's by being pride in place that we exist outside of Chicago. And we live what I call in the media shadow of Chicago. So
yeah.
So that type of thing I see is important. So now the other thing, you work develop things for Iowa Public Radio, I believe. So radio is not new to you.
Right. I did. That's also another genesis for the building the agricultural city many years ago. I wrote a 6-part editorial for Iowa Public Radio on the need for the U.S. In this case, I was thinking much larger, to actually devolve or evolve into a quilt work of regions. Mm-hmm. Because it just... Warren Rudman and Lindsey Graham had said that if the U.S. didn't get its deficit in order, it was going to become the world's largest banana republic. So that was the kickoff for me, starting thinking about, well, how do we counter this possible threat, this very damaging thing? How can we avoid the traumas of a national depression? So I began thinking about regions.
Very good. So you were in Iowa. How long did you stay there? And
we're still there.
Oh, you're still there.
We're still there.
Not on the farm, though.
No, not on the farm.
We were 17.
So Music Man to use, I ought to give Iowa a try. You really did. So.
Well, I actually originally came from Waterloo, Iowa.
Okay.
So I went to Chicago when I was 23. But Chicago is home to me.
Okay.
All my musicians are there, and I still perform periodically.
You were just at Ravinia?
Yeah, a year ago. And then I play the Old Town School like once every year or two, a couple of years. And I love Space also in Evanston. But my horn player, Steve Eisen, you know, my guys are in Chicago.
So wonderful.
In certain ways, I have not left. I love Chicago.
Chicago Excellent. Loves you so much.
Well, they've been very good to me. I came there and didn't know but one person who now lives in a barn in Rochester, Indiana, yeah. My friend Gib Foster.
I remember going to all the jazz clubs, like on Lincoln, like Ratso's
right.
And Orphan.
Right.
Well, Orphan did a lot
right.
of them.
Right.
And you could see major musicians at Ratso's. And, you know, that was a small place. Literally, if you had a little round table, you might be sitting right next to it. Of course, I'm a Maynard Ferguson fan. But I remember Ulfather Hines there. And this is when wireless mics were brand new. So he's playing about a half-hour set. And all of a sudden, from you know how it was set up, there was another bar area that was actually adjacent. And this woman starts singing. And she comes in with a wireless mic. And this is like in the 70s, and it's like, yeah, it's some great times there on Lincoln Street. And those
fabulous.
Places are gone.
I know.
Was Maynard Ferguson there?
Yes. I saw him first at the Happy Medium, the jazz showcase. I was still in high school. We drove up to see him. But then later on, I saw him, and literally I sat, the stage was like where I'm sitting here now, and he was right there. So I'm a big fan.
Well, Bonnie was big Earl of Old Town.
Oh, yeah.
I played Kelly's, too.
Yeah.
Tell them that story about the... the sofa.
Oh, well, I have an odd sense of humor.
Okay, so
anyway,
do I.
I have a friend who had a big Impala, a big Impala convertible, old. It was old. You know, they're half a block long. And so I'm such a junker. I mean, all my apartment was filled with things that were found and Goodwill and stuff. So a friend called and said, Bonnie, there are lots of really wonderful things in the dumpster. Someone's moving. And I lived in the Crilly building, and I was playing at the Earl, which was only two blocks away. So I was dressed to go on stage, and I went out, and we found this beautiful old rug, a huge rug, and we couch. So I said, Joe, we'll just put them in that car. So we put the couch across the back, in the back, and then we put the rug up over and on the window, over the window and onto the fender. And I went and I did my first set, and I kept thinking about it, and it was so funny to see all this stuff. So I said, all right, Joe, when I come back, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to have you come around, go down North Avenue and come around and turn onto Wells. So he did, and I got up and sat in the couch. And at that time, there was a long line waiting to get in for the second show, and it was wrapped around the block all the way down to North Avenue and around the block. So Joe comes around, and he pulls up in front of the Earl, and I'm sitting on the couch.
Oh, what an entrance.
And he gets out, I know, and he gets out, and he comes around, and he opens the door, and he helps me get down. And I go into the front door, and all these people are looking that are in line. It was so funny to me. And I used to love to make an entrance at the
Earl.
That's
an entrance.
It was. And so you'd come in the front door, and you didn't want to walk through. It was a long, it was a very long room. So I would wait till between a song for whoever was on the opening. But you'd hear people go, there she is, there she is. And it was so funny to me. And I always wonder if anybody remembers that was in that line.
I know. I would love to know if anybody remembers you coming in on the couch.
It'd be great to have a photo of that, too.
I know. I wish I would have had a video, but, you know, videos weren't around then.
Yeah, you had to film that, yeah. Oh, that's
fine. Lots of good times.
Lots of good times in Old Town, I'll tell you. I don't want to get back to Bob in a second, but one of my first experiences was at Second City. I was in high school, and we had a very progressive teacher that took us on a field trip there. And so it was during Christmas time, and we saw a story, and I'll tell you what the thing is. But anyway, it was John Belushi, and these were the guys that became the core of Saturday Night Live, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray.
They'd come into the Earl.
Yeah, and Bill Murray hit on one of our teachers. You know, I knew this years later because I kind of wondered, but he said, oh, yeah, Bill Murray was trying, and she was married. He was trying to pick me up. He said, hey, dump these kids, come back to me in the apartment. But anyway, and then from then on, I went all the time to Second City. And by completion of how life goes in a circle, my daughter went through the Second City Training Academy, and then in addition, got into the next level, the professional level. She could only do it for a while because she was also going to college. She was working in dance, so it was like crazy. So that's my story there. But I love Old Town. I loved it back then in the 70s. And so back to you, Bob. This is your interview now. So you wrote the thing for Iowa, and then you also have done magazine articles.
Right.
Worked for the Chicago Tribune.
Tribune, yeah. I did a column called Family Fair, which was just what to do with the kids this weekend or this coming week, you know. And then a bunch of fun features. You want to hear some freight train stories?
Sure, go right ahead.
And the idea for riding freight trains came from actually reading Carl Sandburg's autobiography, Always the Young Strangers. And there were other American writers who had done this. And I thought, if I really want to be an American writer and document this country, know this country, I've got to ride freight trains. So I began doing that. And when I lived in Chicago, I would take a bus down to Joliet, Illinois, because it had this great, huge freight yard. And I got to know the guys who worked there. And one time, and in those days, they'd help you get on, or at least they'd help me get on. And I told this one guy, I said, you know, I want to go such and such a place. He said, well, you come in the shack and sleep on the table, and I'll come in and wake you up when your train's ready. That was the kind of thing that went on. One time I was also thrown off a gunpoint in Streeter, Illinois, and had to hitchhike the rest of the way down to New Mexico. But yeah, so traveling back and forth and meeting new people and putting myself in different situations became sort of like the most exciting thing for me to do.
Bob, your wonderful book that you wrote on your memoir.
Oh, I wrote a memoir. Yeah, I wrote a book called In Search of America, which is about my days on the road and all about the 60s. And it's also a commentary. It's punctuated with commentaries on the United States.
That sounds like that would be a great basis for a play.
Yes. Well, we did a play.
Okay.
We did. A jazz composer and musician wrote music for it. So he chose the material he wanted to write music for, and I broke the chapters into speaking parts. So we had four readers, and which would be punctuated periodically by the jazz that he wrote.
Being a musical theater guy, I think that would be a great basis for a musical. By the way, you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and we have Bob Wolf here along with his wonderful bride, Bonnie Kolak, telling about his experiences on the road and his writing, and it will be at just a promo for The Nest. When's he going to be there for The
Tonight?
Nest?
Tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight with a free reading.
So you can hear that.
Come get to know.
So that's August 8th, for those of you who hear it. So
no,
if you're not doing... Or what's today?
Today's the 9th.
Well, August 9th. I'm sorry. I'm one day behind. But you can do that at The Nest in Michigan City. So
yes,
we want to make sure.
And then we have a writing workshop on Saturday and Sunday.
So you can go get a lot of information right there. So other things that you've done, you've written for public radio. You were in residence in New Mexico for a period of time, too.
Right. I was there for about 9.5 years.
Okay.
And that was formative, yeah. And extremely important for me. One summer, the first summer there after my first year at St. John's, I got to know a man named Hal West, who was a local artist. He was a regionalist artist and a character. And so he became like a surrogate father to me, because my own father was rather distant and didn't approve of writers or my ambition to write. and then through Hal, I got to know his brother, Gene, who was tall, lanky. He'd actually been in a movie, did a very good acting job in the Nine Lives of Ofego Baka, a Disney movie. And I pestered him, and eventually I said I wanted to come out, work on the ranch. And so that's what I did for the last part of the summer. Extremely interesting man. He was a bar fighter. He loved to fight, but he was also very literate. His favorite authors were the Russian novelists.
Wow, that's fun. So, and Bonnie, this is before your period with him, correct?
That's right. I was in Chicago at this time doing my own thing. What I want to say, one of the things that Bob started doing workshops when I dragged him off to Nashville after we got married. And people really weren't doing that.
Right.
And so he was really at the forerunner of getting to people to write their stories. And he came home and he said, Bonnie, I'm working with the homeless, but many of them have graduated from high school, or even some have college degrees. And he was working at a place called Matthew?
25.
25, and they helped people get on their feet and save their money and so forth. So he said, I think I'm going to have them write and give them a voice. So he's given a voice to people, and now it's like in the last few years, the last 10 years or 15, it's been a big thing to get people to write about their lives or talk their stories.
Oh, sure.
But people weren't really doing that back in 1988. And he even brought the homeless up to have an interview with Studs Terkel.
Oh, yeah.
Studs loved it.
Oh, I'm sure, because that's exactly... He was a big oral history person.
Yes,
so.
and the homeless, the people that Bob had, said, I can't believe anybody that he would be interested in what we have to say.
And yet, if you read Working, it's amazing.
Right.
And if you ever saw the musical, I don't know if you have Mike, the character. I always wanted to meet the one. I know that's not his real name, but this guy was a philosopher. He's a laborer. And you listen to the things this guy, like, somebody built the pyramid statement.
Yes.
Right. These things just don't happen. I mean, that whole thing. And of course, the big thing is that leads into the song, Something to Point To. Everyone needs something to point to, something to be proud of. Amazing.
And And human beings are talent. We all have talent. We all have an artist within us.
Right.
And it comes out in different ways. And our lives are what make great fiction, what make great literature and great art. So it comes from each and every individual. And so it's often we're afraid to try to do things.
Right. We have and, it has to be nurtured.
Right.
Or, and that's what Bob
and
does.
Encouraged.
And that's one of the things
sure.
that he does.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't believe he got the people to write that he did.
Do you have another segment you can read for us that you have picked? We'd
yes.
love to have that.
Yeah. I'll read one of my favorites. It happens to be by another. I could choose some. I could do either Lucky Lacey or I could do a farm piece. Maybe an essay by Richard Sandry.
Who is such a natural.
A natural writer. Let's see.
You're listening to Bob Wolf, and it's a wonderful on Art on the Air, and we're listening to one of his readings, and you'll be at The Nest coming up tonight.
7:30.
That's August 9th. So if you hear us on Monday, you missed it. Okay, Bob.
Yeah, so Richard Sandry was a member of the farm writing workshop that I conducted back in 1990-1991. We sat around a large farmhouse kitchen table, dining table, and Richard just whipped this one out. He was a natural. It's on threshing. When you are 10 years old and can be along with the men on the threshing crew, it can make you feel pretty grown up. The threshing ring then consisted of about 12 neighboring farmers. Someone in July, when the oats fields were all a golden yellow, it was time to cut and shock the grain. The grain binder was brought out from its year of rest in the machine shed and was pulled by 5 strong horses, or in later years by a tractor. The fields then turned from yellow to a shade of green as the oats were cut, tied in small bundles, and deposited in rows on the ground by the binder. Usually this was done on some of the hottest days of the summer. The oats bundles then had to be picked up by hand and shocked. A shock was usually 6 bundles set on the ground, with 1 bundle lying horizontally on top, called the cap. Many farmers liked to do the shocking in the cool of the evenings, sometimes keeping on until midnight. For the next 2 weeks, the shocks went through a sweat or drying time. It was then time to begin threshing. Each farmer would bring his team of horses and his basket rack, which was a large wagon box to hold the bundles. Some had tractors hitched to the wagons. It was necessary to move along the rows of shocks to load the wagon. This is where I came in as a tractor driver. This was a big help to the men who were loading the wagon as he did not have to crawl continually on and off the tractor. To be able to drive those early tractors was quite a thrill for a young boy. And I must say, it was Bonnie's idea to establish Free River Press, because at that point, I think we had done one little mimeograph work with the homeless, and Bonnie said, give them a voice, publish their work. So that was the idea for the setting up of the nonprofit. And let me say, for just I can put in a few words about Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, sure. That's I was going to be actually
okay.
to that.
Yeah, it's really a case of using going back and using Kerouac, because Kerouac has this method that he developed for really getting rid of the editor in your head, which bugged me for a long time, worrying about where you put the comma or if you do put the comma, your word choice and so on. So it's really a case of cutting loose, being free to make mistakes, free to write whatever you want to write. It's freedom to write junk if you want to write junk, but you'll be surprised at what does come out. So he practiced what he called sketching. He would take a small notepad and go out and look at objects. It could be L-tracks. He had one on a L-track in New York City. Or he might stare at a pastry shop window and sketch. And it's done without periods, just using dashes. Almost, he would say, thinking like a jazz musician or feeling it like a jazz musician. You take a breath in and you just blow and you go and when you run out of air, you just make a dash and so on. So we'll do that. And then we'll do more experiments with sound and rhythm through looking and reading some of Gertrude Stein's portraits. So Saturday we'll go outside and do some sketching a la Kerouac, and we'll also spend some time inside the nest just doing these non-objective word portraits from various objects within the nest. And then Sunday we'll just take these various experiments and apply them to stories that we want to write.
Fantastic. And so that's at the nest this weekend. So
this weekend. Great. It's going to be an exciting weekend. Bob, we're hoping, Bob has so many areas that he can lead workshops in. I know that we had talked in the past about getting Michigan City stories. So hopefully we can develop this.
Yes.
Good.
I was
great.
In Michigan City the other day, and I always wondered, and this is not a story, but there's got to be a story about the coming down of the Hoosier Slide and becoming ball glass. I mean, that breaks my heart sometimes.
What's the Hoosier?
Oh, the Hoosier Slide was a large dune bigger than Mount Baldy, and it was mined, taken down to Muncie, and made into ball glass jars. This was a big attraction many, many years ago. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I was driving with my wife in town. I said, I wonder what that looked like, because I think it's kind of where about the NIPSCO plant is now. So any final thoughts here?
Oh, well, it's just I would love to work with – I love working with people and getting them excited about writing and getting them on a pathway so that they want to continue doing this work. And that's happened in the past. Several people in the workshops have gone on to write professionally.
Okay.
Honest to God.
Is there a, I know how I wrote for, now this is more academic writing. I used a Word document, but I would just throw down phrases and things like that and then develop it like that. Some people then just actually handwrite, but that became what I did to build on. Is that one technique?
One of many. So it's whatever really works for that person.
Okay.
Yeah. And they can work on paper and pen, or they can bring their laptop if they want to, however they want to do
right.
it.
Right.
Okay. Bonnie, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, it's really beautiful to be back in Indiana. We have so many, and Michigan. We have so many friends down here, and I played at the Three Oaks Theater, the Acorn. So many
we
times.
Love the Acorn.
And we love this area. And yeah, if you don't be afraid, just, come on out. And actually, most of the people that I know have had a really wonderful time at these workshops in the past.
Well, we really appreciate you being on the show today. Yeah. That's Bob Wolf, along with his wonderful bride, Bonnie Kolak. And you've been listening to Art in the Air. That's our guest today. By the way, we're heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast at Monday at 5 p.m. With your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, our station manager, who, even by remote control, helps us put this on the air.
Yes, he does. He left me the sweetest note this morning.
Oh, that's great. Art, by the way, underwriters again are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and, of course, the National Endowment for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, appear as a guest, whatever you'd like to do, send it to artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. You can hear the show archive once again after I get it up. Takes about a few hours to do that at brech.com/AOTA. And you can hear all of our archives all the way back to last October. So next week we have Melissa Washburn, and she's returning to the microphone as the previous host here, but this time as a guest. And she'll be talking about All Little Things exhibit at Chesterton Arts Center, which actually will open on Sunday, this coming Sunday. So you get a chance to see it there. So we hope to see you next week right here at 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself.